From the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Today on the program, it's Happy St. Patrick's Month with the Kilmaine Saints. The Saints are a high-energy Celtic rock band from central Pennsylvania that really know how to throw a party, especially in March when the shows are sheer
madness. It's like I said, we took February off. We had a couple shows in February. So we all made sure we drank light beer during those shows.
Coming up, Brendan and Liz from the Kilmaine Saints are in the house. But first, let's find out what's happening around the wood stove. Garen Hoy is a songwriter from Philadelphia who's been a Wood Stove House favorite for many years. As if his 2011 release Soldier wasn't enough to satisfy his fans, this prolific artist released another full-length album last week. Hoy's new record, Lunatic, is now available all over the internet for your listening pleasure. Here's Breakaway from Garen Hoy on Around the Wood Stove.
And I've been living here for years. It's been all right for me. But as the D's add up, the more I wanna leave. And I guess it's the way I am, to be free like the wind.
That was Breakaway by Garen Hoy from his new album Lunatic. Check him online at garenhoy.com or link up from our website woodstovehouse.com. The Wood Stove House is cooking up a new theater event. On the weekend of May 5th and 6th, we'll be presenting some site-specific theater in the city of Lancaster as part of Lancaster's Spring Art Walk. Three area playwrights are writing three short plays to be performed in three locations in the city. So you, the audience, will congregate at the first site, take in a wonderful theatrical performance, and then walk to the next location just in time for the next play. All three plays will be performed a few times over that weekend. Details for times and locations will be announced soon. Keep your eye on woodstovehouse.com, or go to the website and sign up for our newsletter to keep up with what's happening. And while you're there, of course, you can also like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or subscribe to this program Around the Wood Stove to have the show automatically downloaded to your electronic computing device.
And it's all for me grog, me jolly jolly grog, all gone for beer and tobacco. Well, I spent all me tin on the lassies drinking gin. Far across the Western Ocean I must wander.
Well, it's March, and around here that means a lot of Irish music. I have been performing with the traditional Irish group Fire in the Glen for the past 4 years, but will be stepping down at the end of this month to make more room for all that we have going on here at the Wood Stove House. But it's not over yet. I'll be performing a whole lot more with the band for the rest of this month, including two shows on St. Patrick's Day, from noon to 2 at Iron Hill Brewery in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and from 8 to midnight at Maywin's in York, PA. Check out fireintheglen.com for the full schedule. Kilmaine Saints have been bringing superior Celtic rock to central Pennsylvania and beyond since 2009. A year later, they released their first full-length CD, The Good, The Plaid, and The Ugly, and have since performed on some big stages with some of the biggest bands in the Celtic music world. They've played hundreds of shows in pubs and venues in the Northeast and the Midwest, including several large Irish festivals like Pipes in the Valley, Celtic Fling, Shamrock Fest, the Annapolis Irish Festival, and the Wildwood Irish Weekend. I had a chance to chat with lead vocalist Brendan Power and fiddler Liz Mallon from the Kilmaine Saints at the Candy Factory in downtown Lancaster during March Madness 2012.
So great to have you here, especially this week, St. Patrick's Week. And of course, the Kilmaine Saints are a loud, raucous Irish band. Let's start with...
That's being polite.
Let's go back a little bit and talk about the beginning of the band. Tell me the story of how this thing came together.
Mike and John and a couple other members that were in the band at the time were in a pipe and drum band, Lokeel Animal Society, and they just got to talking. They had a very common interest in the music, like a Irish punk scene, and kind of thought it'd be a great idea to get some people together and possibly play for beer on St. Patrick's Day, which is the goal of everybody that's ever played music. And it just blossomed from there. They put out a couple ads looking for people. Liz and I auditioned the same night, and it was from the very first song we played, which was Leaving Liverpool, was the first song that we actually practiced to. And it was just, I'm sure it sounds very, like anybody would say the same thing, but it was very magical. It was like awesome. You could feel the energy. The music was perfect. The energy was great. And that was just the first time we played it.
Wow.
And from there, it just kind of blossomed and grew.
Well, farewell to you, my young true love, but I'm moving far away. I'm bound for California, and I know that I'll return someday. So farewell, my young true love, when I return united we will be. It's not the leaving of Liverpool that grieves me, but my darling, when I think of thee. Well, I'm off to California.
How many shows are you doing?
I think we do between 50 and 60.
I'd say 50 a year on average. So in 3 years' time, we've done somewhere between 150 and 200 shows.
That's great.
Yeah, it is.
And you made this fantastic record, 2 years ago now?
Yeah, actually, it's The Good, the Plaid, and the Ugly. We went in and recorded it. It was in July that we recorded it. It wasn't in June. Mm-hmm. We recorded in June and released it in July. And it was awesome. I had never been in a recording studio before, so I was like, I couldn't sleep the night before. I was nervous.
Yeah.
But it was neat. Just to watch the whole thing go on, it was awesome.
Where was it recorded?
After Seven Studios in Mechanicsburg.
And it's probably good to note that we recorded that in three sessions.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Three sessions.
Frank Aponte, one of our former members, kind of a sound engineer, if you will, he had mapped out this whole thing. We knew exactly when and where and what to play, and it was smooth as could be.
You guys are navigating a seven-piece band.
Yeah, three days.
In 3 days and come out with that record.
Yeah.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah, it was an experience. And we really tailored our practices and rehearsals around making sure that everything we played on the album was going to be, tight. Everybody knew their part. We've been playing the songs out for a while, so we had experience with playing them out in public as well. So,
not to mention we had a budget.
That was actually the overriding factor, the fact that there was a budget. So,
get her done.
And Mike, the drummer, made sure that if we didn't know our part, he said he was going to bludgeon us to death, so we had to make sure we were ready on time.
How do you balance between original Kilmaine Saints tunes and traditional Irish songs? Like, how do you decide what to play, and how did you decide what to put on the record?
We only had so many songs written, to be honest with you. I mean, completely honest with you. We only had so many songs written, and we took a couple. With our first album, we didn't want to necessarily go out and have to pay any royalties for something that wasn't public domain. So we kind of went that route. But this time around, we're actually getting ready to record another album in July. And this time around, I think we're going to have a lot more material to choose from. But
sure.
It kind of was just, we wanted to take a little something traditional that we knew we played and kind of had enough energy behind.
Yeah.
And bring that, put that on the album. Maybe a song that, some people would recognize that listen to traditional Irish music. And then just fill it in with as much stuff as we could that is our own as well.
Yeah, I think in considering the next album, that is, that's important for us to put some traditional on there that people are familiar with, but with our own spin.
the record starts with pipes. There's pipes in it. You've got a, you know, you're bringing pipes into a bar. How does that work? I mean,
depends on the bar.
I was going to say, have you ever?
It starts outside.
Yeah, it's exactly where it starts.
That's where they tune them up.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been in fairly tight locations with bagpipes, man, and they are loud.
They are. Uh-huh. They are. And then when you hear Mike drum and hear how loud he is, the bagpipes don't sound so loud. It's wild because it's not a scene that people see a lot, especially with the other instrumentation on stage. So when we do bring it in, it really is an eye-opener. People will hear that, and you'll see people, you know, we've gotten people that will come in and tell us, like, you know, we weren't even going to stay, and you know, you guys started playing, we heard the bagpipes, or that drew them in, and they see it, and just, you know, they get sucked in, you know.
Yeah.
And then we don't lock the door, and we don't let them out.
I want to know who wrote The Saints Are Up.
Mike wrote the music, and him and I collaborated together.
That song rocks.
Yeah, it does.
It was supposed to be our anthem. That's what we kind of wanted to start off. And
You nailed it.
Yeah, well, it was good. I mean, like I said, Mike and I kind of worked together with it, and it just was, he said, you know, this is the music we got. Come up with a couple verses, and here's the chorus line that I wanted to use, and, you know, it's supposed to be loud
fingers?
And ruckus.
It's Itchy Fingers we used.
Yeah, the Itchy Fingers, and that tune. And that's a lot of times we start our shows off with that, and it's just, you know, kind of in your face.
It's
a
signature song.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I mean, we played it for how many, almost 3 years, and it's still a blast.
Well, we won't go home till you empty your glass. If you like what you hear, then get up off your ass. You buy us around, and the town we will paint. This night it was rocked by the Cumane Saints. Raise the blue, raise the green, and all the colors in between. Sing along, sing aloud, cause we're Celtic and we're proud. Raise a shot. Put your arms around your neck, cause we're the noisy drunken bastards called the Cumane Saints. Hey! 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 Hey!
And Golden Guns. That's a fantastic song.
Yes, it is.
Tell me about that one.
All but one verse, which Brendan wrote, I just had kind of a block for that one, was written in the parking lot of Hershey Medical. I had an appointment for my son there, and it was a hot day. We're sitting underneath a shade tree, and it just kind of came to me. And I remember, actually, a native elder had said the words Golden Guns, and that's what kind of stuck with me, and I made a song around that. And lyrically, it's about basically, you know, the notion of going to war for a certain purpose, and often we're misguided. It's really not. It's about power. It's about you know, acquiring things, and it's not about. In this case, the story is about, you know, the Crusades or coming to the new land, and it's really about power.
Yeah.
And Brendan, you wrote that second verse beautifully. That brought in the history of the
talks
the
about
famine.
The famine, you know, and the atrocities, and that was completely done over greed, the crown, you know, the love for the crown and money, you know, and when Liz came to me with the lyrics and what she had, you know, it was so nice because it didn't have to tie into the Celtic music, because that's something, you know, greed and the struggle for power has been something that's been around for forever. And it just was something when she came to me that I looked at what she had and I thought, man, that would work perfectly. And actually, we wrote it together. We were sitting there in her car on the way to practice. And we wrote it on the way up. I was riding with Liz to practice and actually just kind of scribbled some stuff down, and it worked. It just was, it fit very well. And
yeah,
I on the album, I think that's actually my favorite song.
Well done. It's not what they say, it's not what
painting Paradise Square. Is that that's an original tune?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Who wrote that one?
Frank Ponte did.
Yeah, that's a fantastic song.
It is a great
too.
Song. Yeah. It is a great song. And the funny thing is everybody looks at that as a from an Irish perspective. Frank is Puerto Rican, and the history of the Five Points at the time was it's a melting pot for everybody. So everybody would listen to that and think like, oh, you know, it's about the Irish. And he kind of slanted it towards that, but there was a lot of his experience from what he read too about, you know, how many, you know, all ethnicities being there.
Yeah.
And it really can follow that. You can really take that song and tailor it to many different people. But yeah, it's another great song on the album.
Where we sailed away from Galway Bay in the darkest of the 40s. No regrets, no looking back, I don't need the misery. The ill and dead surround us as we cross the fierce Atlantic. What kept me going was a brand new start for me and my family. And we landed in America, the no nothings didn't want us.
You can now hear Around the Woodstove while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your iPad or smartphone. You can download Stitcher for free from your app store. Then during registration, hit the promo code box and enter Woodstove, all one word. You'll be automatically entered to win $100. The latest episode of this show will be waiting for you in your favorites. And you'll get access to thousands of other shows available on demand with no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter the promo code WOODSTOVE when you register your app. I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Woodstove. Joining me today are Brendan and Liz from the Kilmaine Saints. What's that live show like for you guys? And how has it developed? That's, you know, I can imagine, right? You get together, you learn some songs, you come out, you play some. I mean, I've been in bands, right? But as time goes on and you become more comfortable, then the flavor of the band and the show really develops, right, over time. Because once you stop thinking about it, that's when it really happens.
That, and that's where we've gotten. I remember the first show at Boob's Brewery. I think I lost about 15 pounds from sweating, and that was before we even started. I was so nervous, unbelievably nervous, and timid because, you know, we're still new. Like, does everybody remember the part? Now I think we've gotten comfortable enough.
Well, it's very telling to look at old videos of us. You know, you play the song looking down, as you say, and then at the end of the song, you're all looking at your set list. I mean, now it's just, you know, the timing's good. We move from one thing to the next, and there's a certain amount of showmanship that we've refined, you know.
Sometimes.
Especially Brendan.
Sometimes.
He's got to refresh some of the onstage jokes, but they still
work.
I
do have to work on new material. Yeah. But it's, I think everybody's so comfortable now with what we have that you feed off everybody's energy now. You know, I play off Liz probably more than anybody else, you know, on stage. And it allows you to have more fun on stage. And that's what your point that you made is exactly right. Now, that's where it takes off and it becomes much more enjoyable because you're so busy concentrating on everything and not trying to make a mistake that now you're at the point where it's muscle memory. And, you know, it's just now, you know, embellish the show a little bit and have a good time.
I just want to say, I think what shows and what people have commented on is that we actually like each other. And it's apparent on stage, you know. We did a show, I'm not sure where, when, but the people that were on before us, the band before us, they were screaming at each other and dropping the F-bomb, and it was just awful. And, you know, how do you go home at the end of the day and say, I had a great time playing in the band, you know?
Yeah.
We just, I think the audience is really comfortable with our comfort level with each other. I think it shows.
And we interact with them a lot. Like, we really interact with the crowd, because we can play music and we can play it to one person and that's fine. But if you get people who want to come out and interact with the show and have a good time and get them dancing, and that's what it's about. Because the music, and music's fun, and it's, you know, we make pretty good music. But when people come out and they want to have a good time, they know that that show is going to be a great time. And you know, we've been playing a lot of the same songs for a couple of years. That's why we've been like really trying to write new music, because we don't want to go stale. But I think the energy that we bring and interaction with people really, really pulls people in as well.
As I was going over where the far-fair Cherry Mountain, but I met with Captain Farrell and his money he was counting. When I first reduced me pistol and I then reduced me rapier, I said, stand and deliver, for you are the bold deceiver. Push out!
You've played some big stages.
Yeah.
What's the biggest or the craziest experience that you've had so far with this thing?
Well, the bad crazy experience was the Depot, when Liz ran from the stage crying all the way home. I had my teeth broken on stage, and there was a gentleman that got abused by everybody in the band. Everybody was just taking their turn. But for me, I think it was Shamrock
Fest.
This was in reference to the mosh pit, and a certain person got a little out of hand. But
Liz?
Yeah, Liz. Liz started the mosh pit. Jason,
second
that's
flame
very
for
true.
Everything.
It's true.
It's got to be a scapegoat.
It was definitely Shamrock Fest. And we've played some awesome shows, and I think we've played shows where musically we were so tight, you know, and that was great, or the crowd was into it. When we played Shamrock Fest, it was thousands and thousands of people around the stage, and we were actually the last band that went on. We were on a different stage. We were the last band that went on before Dropkick Murphys, which really played to our favor. And we had our first crowd surfer. He did not make it very far.
Oh, it wasn't Liz?
No, it wasn't Liz. We actually had to restrain Liz. She was trying to go out and crowd surf while playing.
Yeah, ball and chain. Yeah.
No, but it's but it was just seeing that many people and enjoying the show, and they really loved it.
You know, and interestingly enough, the next stage over, there was quite a few people had already claimed their space. It was a standing room only thing, a big stadium. And getting ready for Dropkick. And when we started playing, you could see the shift of people coming back over to us.
Nice.
You know, and giving up their seats for Dropkick. And
yeah, it was an honor.
That was a real honor.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing. And
yeah.
That was probably the biggest, I think the biggest show as far as that part being amazing. But then sometimes just playing locally. You know, you'll play a place like we'll play HMAC in Harrisburg, and actually April 7th we have a show, and I can't wait for that because we have a couple other bands are coming up that are awesome, and it's just so much fun to have your local fans that are going to start dancing. They sing, you know, like Liz touched on earlier, when you're at a place and you have a lot of the people that have been following you around for a while, and they're singing your lyrics, you know, your original lyrics back to you. It's a wow moment.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and you know, the Celtic Fling, that was a blast. We played that last year, and we're playing it again this year. That was actually a blast. I have to have a talk with my liver before Celtic Fling.
You know, there's a song we do, Jump Around, you know the song, and of course we put our old Celtic spin on it. We did that at the Spy Club in Harrisburg one night.
Yeah.
That's an unforgettable moment.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was the first time we performed
yeah.
it.
Yeah. We were opening for Flatfoot 56.
Flatfoot. And it was just that the energy was just incredible.
Yeah, it was awesome. Actually, yeah. Lights were almost getting broken. You get a bunch of angry white people doing Jump Around. Very, very bad timing. It just gets crazy.
I remember when I saw you guys in Lebanon, and you pulled that, and you know, you've got the room's not packed, but you had those just crazies just going nuts.
They
know
what to do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And that kicked in. You're right. I mean, it notched up.
And that's, it does. It notches it up. And that's why we like to bring it out at the right time. Sometimes if we notice the first set completely rocking and there's a lot of people, we'll do it at the end of the first set. We typically like to do it at the end of the second and give them a reason to come back as well.
And if that color we should wear is English cool red. I'm
what's the summer look like for you guys?
Summer. Well, that probably involves Brandon's father's RV again.
The magic bus. My dad's going to be so happy that you just said that, Liz.
And we actually have become the signature band for the Warrior Dash, which is a, are you familiar with Warrior Dash?
No.
It's a, what is it, a 3-mile obstacle course, very, very good athletes. Mm-hmm. And these are competitions that are held throughout the country. And we're going to be performing, I believe, at 4 or 5 of them.
Yeah, we're doing 5
Michigan,
this year.
Maryland.
Ohio, I believe.
Ohio.
And then South Carolina.
South Carolina, yeah.
Oh, nice.
We have
And I have to touch on the athlete part. The first, like, 25 to 30 place finishers are athletes. Usually people show up half drunk to this, and they dress in costumes. It's the most bizarre thing if anybody's ever seen.
But it's a competition.
Awesome. Oh, yeah, it's a competition. Yeah. It's definitely a competition, but it is a sight to behold,
right,
when people are dressing up as costumes and crawling through mud and under barbed wire fences. It's a good time.
And, of course, a new album, right?
Yeah, and
June,
all that madness and mayhem.
Right?
Yeah, we're going to go back in June and start recording again, and which is good because, you know, like I said, it's been a couple years since the album's out. And the Good, the Plaid, and the Ugly did very well. It sold well. It got great reviews. So now the pressure's on to come up with something that's going to equal that. But yeah, we're going in June, and then we're hoping to release, I think we're talking September.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, I look forward to hearing the new record, and, you know, come back.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
thanks.
We will.
We can introduce it here on the show.
And that would be great.
That'd be great.
We would love to do that.
Thank you so much for spending some time with me.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you
for having us.
And happy St. Patrick's Month.
Yes. It's no longer a day. It's an entire month.
Don't miss the Kilmaine Saints at Appalachian Brewing Company in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania on St. Patrick's Day. And our DC friends can check them out at Shamrock Fest with the Dropkick Murphys on March 24th. Show details and more information can be found at KilmaineSaints.com. Or, of course, you can link up from our website, WoodStoveHouse.com. And while you're there, you can check out past episodes, subscribe to the show, or leave a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. We'd love to hear from you and your friends. If you like what you hear, please drop a comment on the show post. Give us a good rating on iTunes, and be sure to tell your friends about the show. Around the Wood Stove was produced at the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Find us online at woodstovehouse.com.